BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Well, I last saw our next guest in Las Vegas, but it wasn't the kind of Vegas trip that I like. It was media day for Oregon State, Washington State. I was there for a blink. I didn't do any gambling. There was no pool involved. Jake Dickert joining us. How was that trip for you?
Well, it's always good to be on, John. I'll tell you this. You didn't do any of those things. I think I got a couple of those things on your list in. So it was positive for us. It's our kind of first time, in our current situation and really turning the page and moving forward and setting the sights in a different direction. Yet let everyone know we're still here. We're relevant. We're a big-time football program, and we want to move forward, and we're focused on this season and what we need to do to be successful. So it was great for our guys to be a part of. So the Pac-12 did a really good job of putting on an excellent event, and now we're excited about where we're headed.
Yeah, you guys did a really good job telling your story, and I thought it was really well produced. I also think, this season is going to be really important for you. Let's back up, though. Let's go way back, because I was thinking about this, and I was talking to another media member about kind of what you have been through as a head coach. You took over the program. It was a kind of amid some turmoil. Now, then you encounter the conference the way it is. Has all of that equipped you or prepared you in a way for what you're going through right now? Like you've been through some stuff already in Pullman.
There's a long story to that journey that I'm going to write someday, but it's one of those things, John, where you're now seasoned, and I've been seasoned quickly through the fire instead of, over the course of 10 years, you'd see all that stuff. I've seen it in my first two, and I look at it as a blessing. I'm a better football coach today because of that. And I've made plenty of mistakes, and I'm willing to admit that and learn from that and grow from that and keep this program moving forward. So, like I said, in our program, John, there's no losses. There's just wins and learns. And every adversity, everything that's thrown our way, you got to stay agile. I continue to remind our guys, this is life. Football is life. Things are constantly changing and adjusting, and you got to keep moving. The best part about it is you got to have the right people with you. Okay, not the best people, the right people. Because the right people, when the course changes, is ready to attack it head on. Right? And they just didn't get on the bus because of where we were going 2 years ago. They're on it for where we're going and what we're going to do in the future. So it's been an interesting journey, to say the least. But I've learned a lot through it. I've grown a lot through it. And I just like to say I'm a better coach, person, husband, man, because of all the adversity we've been through.
We had a youth soccer game in our household over the weekend, and our youngest daughter was playing, and really competitive game, and she played really hard, and I was really proud of her. And in the end, they ended up losing a close game. And I thought to myself as I was leaving, Coach, I thought, in some ways, this is better. Like, youth sports is a great place for kids to fail. It's a safe place for kids to fail, I should say. And I think that we get more out of those setbacks sometimes than the wins. Are you believing that?
I'm in the same mode you are there with, my son in baseball tournament, and they went to, the 10U state tournament and lost, and you get those tears. And, my yes. wife's like, you want to console him, and I'm just kind of, this is great. It's what a learn, because he messed up. And, you just to go through that process, I'm smiling, and, he's crying a little bit. But it's one of those things where you're just like, this is so great. And I'm with you, John. It teaches us. It grows. We learn. So you're prepared for the next moment when you're in that deal. You're ready for it, because what I've learned last year, most importantly, you get tons of learns, too, from success. How you handle adversity and success is really the same in my point from a coaching standpoint. You got to be able to handle both because there's things that come from that part of it, too. And not enough people kind of talk about that. They talk about the hard things, but how you handle success is also a great indicator for what your program can do and more importantly, the character of the individuals within your organization.
I feel better now because the 8-year-old, after the game, she walked over to me and she buried her face in my shirt and started crying. And I was smiling, and my wife is going, "Why are you smiling that she's crying?" I'm like, "Oh no, this is great. Like, she's going to learn that she will survive this. She's going to learn resilience. This is going to be awesome in about a half an hour when she realizes that she just needs to get back to work." So I love,
just wait till you get the first, like, breakup. You know, my daughter just kind of had, like, the first, she's not allowed to date, by the way.
But right.
She's kind of hanging out with somebody, and then the first breakup, those are the tears, and same thing, I'm smiling all the way.
I got to think that the kids at her school are going, like, Mr. Dickert, I don't want to have to see Mr. Dickert, you know, and you kind of have to have that presence.
I told John I got one rule. I said, you better come over and say hi quickly, right? You better introduce himself and have a great handshake.
Yep, there it is. Jake Dickert with us, Washington State coach. I remember leaving the spring game, and I was really impressed with Wayshon Parker, one of your running backs, freshman, just really electric player with the ball. How's your backfield in general look?
I think light years ahead of where we were the last 2 years. And that's not a knock on anybody besides we've invested a lot to get depth in that room. Wayshon is one of those pieces for sure. He's shown that, you know, through the course of our first seven in fall camp, that a true freshman and a mid-year enrollee has an opportunity at that position with, you know, limited mental things you need to know that can go out there and let his skills show. He's continued to do that. Excited to see this first scrimmage. You know, Leo Pulalasi in the Cal game last year before he got injured was electric, another freshman. You know, so we're really poised, you know, to take a step forward in that room. Javinsky Schlenbaker, Dylan Payne. So I'm excited about what those guys are doing. And you know it, John, because that's the next step of the question. We have to be able to run the football. And I think it isn't just that group, it's the offensive line that we have a lot more depth and feel very comfortable about having more explosiveness out of our offensive run game.
Some of your coaches are talking about that after the first few practices. I saw some quotes in some of the papers, you know, that they felt like you're up front, you were more physical. Are you seeing that? Is there a physicality there in general, or is it a mentality, or you just have bigger guys? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think it's everything in between. You know, I think we were handed a dicey situation in 22 at the offensive line, and we've really invested in it. And it's, you know, through strength and conditioning, it's definitely through size because we were getting smaller in the old scheme. You know, but it's also now we got guys, we got five guys that have started football games in the Pac-12 returning. And that's a luxury to have, as well as competitive depth underneath it. You know, 2 years ago, you know, we got a couple offensive linemen hurt early in fall camp, and it was just ugly. And now we're finally getting to that point where we're sustaining. Those guys are out there. They can handle the physicality of what we're putting them through. And I think it's just a testament to consistency throughout our program. I mean, we have head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, strength and conditioning coordinator, all back. I don't have the numbers of how many people in the country have that. But I think that's what it leads to. And I think that consistency is really good, especially for the offensive line.
Yeah, and you've had other seasons, off seasons, where you were hiring and focused more on that stuff. But, you know, let's talk about youth in general. I've heard coaches say that you can be young at certain positions and not others. Let's start on the defense, because you're a defensive guy. If you're going to be young, you know, where can you afford to be young? Maybe young and talented is good, but... And where can you not afford to be young on defense?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, first and foremost, the interior three guys. You know, you can play, we've done it, played with some young guys in interior defensive line, some pass rush specialists, corners, if you're really talented, is not a taxing mental position. But the core of our defense, the nickel cover guys, strong safety, Mike and Will, very rarely have I ever been able to play a freshman at that position. And it's just because, in today's football, the adjustments, the tempo, the things that you need to know and communicate, it is a complicated game played at warp speed, and high school doesn't get you prepared for that. So in order to do that at that position, you have to be a mid-year enrollee. You have to be able to knock out those 15 spring practices. But at the same time, we do a lot of things, John, that maybe other programs don't do is, you know, we do young guy walkthroughs every morning to prepare those guys and get them more mental reps. After practice, we'll send the old guys, you know, to the ice tubs. We'll get 20 more reps with those young guys because I'm about the learning and developing. And when you get to, you know, game 11, 12, you want to get 13, 14, 15, you're going to be relying on some of those guys that you think might just end up on the scout team. So the developmental process that these kids need to go through are huge. Once we sign them, we start meeting with them on Zoom. Like, we get this thing rolling because we're in a competitive setting, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. You don't know how long you're going to have these kids anymore. So we want to get them fast learning to see what they have and what they can contribute to the team right now.
Yeah, give me an idea how you deal with that, because you signed a whole bunch of high school kids that are going to be young in your program. I like the approach. I guess the thinking is you're going to have them, and you're going to grow them, and you're going to try to convince them that this is where they need to be. But, you know, how do you invest, knowing you're going to lose a portion of those guys? Everybody's going to lose those guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think right now we've created Major League Baseball, right? You know, you got the Yankees, you know, and you got Moneyball, and we got to play Moneyball. You know, we got to find through the portal the guys that maybe some people, because they're not just, you know, an all-around player, but they have specific traits that we feel fit our system. You know, as a high school recruit, you know, who's the guy that we can add 40 pounds to and develop, and we just know and prepare, like, you know, we get them to a certain All-American level, you know, we're going to have some conversations, and I've been really good about having those and being honest and upright with our guys. So it's a plan. It's a matrix. It's hard to figure it all out. I mean, the potential of the new 105 and influxing 800 scholarships at the top level is insane. You know, the shuffle that could potentially happen from that. But you got to take it one day at a time. You got to keep a big recruit. And more importantly, you got to show these players how you are providing value for them through development. And if you don't do that, if you don't have honest conversations, you're allowing their environment to control that versus having really tough, hard conversations about the truth. And then their job is to not manipulate the truth. Their job is to take it for input. And
Zev Eckhouse, you've got John Mateer. How are those guys different when you go out and you're sort of going through a practice with the skill sets?
Yeah, some people say, well, it's hard when they're not the same. I actually enjoy that they're very different. You know, Zevi, you know, has 3 years of starting experience, which I don't care at what level it is, you can't replicate that. And that's exciting to home and cool and collected in the pocket. He's seen everything. And I think he's one of the best kind of touch throwers I've been around. John Mateer, not that he's completely the opposite, but, you know, he's got a big, strong arm, and his athleticism, you know, is really off the charts, you know, so you can run John around a little bit. He can create some things, you know, that aren't there off script, and, you know, he's working on making great decisions when the play breaks down. So very uniquely different. I think they both have tremendous strengths. Whoever we end up going with, the one thing I tell Coach Buck, our offensive coordinator, is let's lean into what they do really well. You know, let's manage the deficiencies and let's lean into their strengths. So that can be a challenge as a play caller to have two different guys, but I think we can have success through two different styles of quarterback play.
Can you play two guys, or are you a believer if you've got two, you don't have one?
No, we're not going to play two guys. We're going to go with one. We're going to make a choice. I think that's important for the team. I think it's important for consistency, you know, O-line, quarterback, wide receiver, rhythm, you know, and you know, we can make big boy decisions, and that will be one of them. So, but at the end of the day, just like any other position, the guy that we go with does have to perform. That isn't a quick hook, but it is an understanding that we got to make sure we're advancing the team. And, you know, there's pressure that comes with that. We own that. These guys are excited about accepting that. Go with one guy when this is, you know, all said and done.
Yeah, I noticed at some of the other media days, I was talking to coaches, and they don't want to single out an individual player when they're giving praise. And I have a little bit of a problem with that because I feel like you should just be authentic and honest, but I get it. They're afraid they're going to lose somebody in the portal or that somebody psychologically will check out. Do you have to be careful in this era talking about guys in the spring, talking about guys in the summer to make sure that you're patting everybody on the back, or has it changed the way you talk about your team?
Well, they may be a touch, you know, but I think If I'm worried about everything that I do, John, that these guys are going to leave, what kind of environment am I providing them to thrive in, right? And I think you're just operating from a standpoint of fear and anxiety versus let's go out and do it the right way. And I think that's what we choose to do here. We know it's not perfect and everyone's going to stay. I know that. But at the end of the day, just what's best for them is best for us, and we move on a stance that we're doing great things here and they want to be a part of this program. So I just, otherwise, man, I wouldn't be able to sleep every night thinking what's going to happen, who's going where. It's tough. You know, I just come to the understanding now that your kids are in the portal every day. They can only leave two times a year, right? And, you know, it's just kind of the way that we've created this, unfortunately, or not fortunately. I mean, it just is what it is. So once again, honest conversations and truth helps. and, you know, trying to get on the same page earlier in the night is something that, you know, that we do here at Washington State.
I like your schedule. I liked it the minute I saw it. I went, look, you got Texas Tech at home. That's a big opportunity to show you belong. There, you have several of those opportunities. You have the Washington game in week three. I think that's going to be a dogfight, always is. You go to Boise State. You go to Fresno State. I covered what was the WAC back in the day when, you know, I was in Fresno working at the Fresno Bee. That is a tough place to play. So is Boise. I think my takeaway is you're going to have some opportunities to show that CFP committee that Washington State might be the best team out there that's not in a Power Four.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Every opportunity that you just spoke on is afforded to us through this schedule. There's no doubt about it. And we're just going to be focused on what we need to do game to game. What you said is absolutely the truth. I mean, I've been in Fresno. It's a tougher place to play than Stanford. You know, talking about the environment.
Yes, yes.
You know, I've been to Boise. It's a tougher place to play than Arizona State as far as the environment. You know, I've spent 3 years in that league. So the biggest thing we're focused on is that standards are internal, expectations are external. And fighting, you know, the outside noise of, hey, that's just the Mountain West, don't worry about it. It doesn't work like that. You know, we're going to walk into hostile environments with a target on our back ready to come beat us, and we got to match that intensity and live up to our standard of play. So we're excited about doing that, but absolutely, this provides us every opportunity we need to go out there and get into one of those seven college football playoff spots.
Jake Dickert with us. All right, before I cut you loose, the end of summer before football, did you, as a family, did you take a trip, do a vacation, or was it all youth sports all summer?
No, we got to in the middle, you know, go to Lake Coeur d'Alene. You know, we kind of Airbnb'd a place. I rented a boat, which I didn't even know that they can just give you the keys to a boat, and yes, they just tell you to drive it, and you've never driven one before. We paddleboarded, we kayaked, we got the kids up on old school skis. That was like heaven. You know, my wife whipped me off the tube a couple times, if I'm being honest. So we got away, we enjoyed, we had tons of family time, and I've learned a lot about that too, John. I got to be able to recharge so I can reinvest, you know, my energy in what I'm doing, and that was the best way to do it, is just kind of just staying close to home base and enjoying every moment I could.
I'm looking at your opener with Portland State. I might go to that game because I'm looking at all the games. I think that might be the most interesting or compelling game because I want to see you guys early, and Bruce Barnum will bring a team in there that I know will scrap. And so, you know, there's some games out there that I'm not that interested in, but I think for your fan base, I guess my last question would be, like, what message do you have to your fans this season in general as far as tuning into the CW to see Washington State play and showing up to see Washington State play?
It's a real simple message. Be there. Invest. Show who we are. We're going to get this 1 year of being in the spotlight, and Washington State's got to shine in every moment. And, you know, Cougs watch all over this country. There's more access than ever through our partnership with the CW. But Geisa Field needs to be rocking for every home game that we possibly have, because that's what these kids deserve. They stayed here for a reason. We need to reward them with one of the best environments in the country.
Thank you, Jake Dickert. Appreciate you.
Always. Go Cougs!
And there he goes, Jake Dickert, Washington State football coach. Big season ahead for the Beavers, for the Cougars. And it's really going to challenge fans psychologically because, on one hand, the fans at Washington State and Oregon State are obviously disappointed with what has transpired over the last year, 18 months, with the Pac-12 conference. On the other hand, if they want to be with the Haves one day, this season's a stepping stone and an opportunity to prove you belong. And there is a CFP berth out there for somebody. Why not Oregon State? Why not Washington State? They will be fighting with the best schools in the Mountain West Conference. They'll be fighting with the best schools in the American Athletic Conference. And, you know, Washington State's got a ton of returners. The schedule provides opportunities. Oregon State, the same way. I'm a little more worried about Oregon State because Trent Bray, as a first-time, first-year head coach, sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and it costs you here or there. But big opportunities this season for these two teams. Leave it here. You got the BFT. Punch It Audio's next.